Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman. I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today we have Vaughan Murphy, and she is here with us. Vaughan is a science fiction and fantasy writer who has a passion for literacy and has created reading and writing projects since 7 or 8 years old. She has published 4 books, Chimera, Changeling, Vector, and Phoenix, and they are in the Weaver series, and she's working on her 5th. Welcome, Vaughan.
Well, hello, thank you for having me.
So, obviously, I've got to ask right off the bat, these names of your books are incredible. Did you come up with the names first, or did you come up with a story and then add the name to the story? How did that work?
Well, with the first book, everything was ad lib. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, so I just kind of made up the name of the book halfway through, and it was because there was a medical condition actually called chimerism that is in the book.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. So without giving too much away, that's kind of a good little teaser. Like, you got to go find out what that means.
Yeah.
So. And you've obviously been writing for a very long time, so you started writing young. Did you always want to be a writer?
Oh, yes. I was very jealous of my family because Sundays were for reading, and they would all be sitting around reading books and laughing, and I wanted to know what they were laughing about. So I learned to read as fast as I could, and I read my first novel when I was 7, and ever since then I've been obsessed with one day writing my own book.
What a good foundation for a writer.
Yeah. Yes.
What was the first novel that you read? Can you remember?
No, I barely remember the cover because I was in first grade. I know it was about a bank heist and they stole the money in balloons, but then they were foiled because the balloons popped over the park and all the money went everywhere.
That is so cute.
What a fun story. So that's amazing. So you obviously put a lot of work into it. Your covers are absolutely beautiful and very similar. And did you then, when you put them together, or did you do the first one and the others evolved from that one? How did that work?
Well, Nathalia Sewellen is a pretty well-known cover artist, and she designs for Random House. She's designed for the Splintered series with A.G. Howard, and we just kind of, we go back and forth and creatively design them and decide what will be in each eye.
And does the eye connect to the story, or is that just an idea for the theme?
Well, it has a lot to do with chimerism, so...
So we're back to the first book.
Yes, very, very much back to the first book. Tie into twins and what it means to be human and what is the soul. Just a different sort of take on humanity.
So why don't you kind of just give us like a little clip, like a sort of a log line or like the back of the book sort of, so people know what it is, so the story's about.
Well, it's about an evolved segment of humanity that can travel an alternate plane with their minds and explore the universe. So, of course, there's aliens and adventure and all sorts of mayhem.
Wow, that sounds great.
Sounds like it'd make a great like movie or TV series, too.
Well, interestingly enough, I have, whenever I write, I think of the scenes, the different scenes that I'm picturing in my mind as I write chapters and such as commercial breaks, like in between chapters, I visualize everything that I put down.
Wow. So do you actually think in pictures when you're creating?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's me too. How about you, KJ? Do you think in pictures?
Yeah, well, I completely see, smell, taste, feel everything as I'm writing it, yeah.
Because not everybody does. I mean, just some of us really do. Well, that's interesting.
Huh. So we're all the same that way.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So tell us, where did the word Weaver come from in the series? Was it? Did you start with the first book and say, is the Weaver something to do with the story, or was that just a name that you came up with for the series?
It's what they call themselves, because to be a Weaver, you have to have a more realized, I don't know how to put this. Body, mind, and soul mean a lot more than they do whenever we just speak them. It's actual things that tie together, weave together for them. for weavers.
Gosh, it sounds like you put a lot of work into the background of this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of jumping out of the bathtub and going, oh, I have to write this down before I forget. Or getting up in the middle of the night and my husband's like, what? And I'm like, oh, lay back down. Fine.
Never mind.
I just need to kill somebody. I'll be back.
And exactly, when I jumped out of the bathtub, I was killing someone, and I was so excited about the scene that I posted it directly on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I just had this great idea in the bathtub, and then somebody posted, I'm picturing you typing it on your phone naked, and I was like, really, that's what happened. It really is what happened. I was dripping everywhere.
Wow.
Like,
I hope all you budding authors are taking notes here. This is how you do. You jump out of the tub. You go straight to Facebook.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's
so great. And is that often how ideas come to you? Just all of a sudden, just like, you know, bathtub, middle of the night. So you have to just do that?
Well, I think there's a famous quote from someone somewhere, and I can't remember their name, but they're a well-known author, and they were talking about how writing isn't really always what you do in front of the typewriter. It's what you do while you're folding laundry or going about your regular day. So I'm having ideas constantly, and I just stop and write them down and then keep going.
Wow. Do you have like a book that you keep them in, or do you have a, you know, how you just put on a piece of paper, or how do you do that?
My notes function in my phone is full of gibberish. Absolute. I mean, I know what it means, but if someone else found my phone, they would be like, this person is insane. So
that's so cool. So anyway, I've got a quote from one of your reviews, because you had some great reviews on Amazon where you can get Vaughan's book. Vaughan Murphy's world building skills are outstanding and keep us turning the page as she captivates her readers with a unique protagonist and compelling set of characters. Please tell us how you create the worlds, because for me, that's like, that's so huge. Like, I don't create worlds. I write in this world. And for me, that just seems such a huge task. So how do you go about that?
Oh, gosh. I think it's a lifetime of observation. I grew up military, so I was always the outsider looking in. And what do you do whenever you don't know anyone? You watch them. And whenever you're watching them, you're picking up all the little things that make them them. And make this place different than the last place that you lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you're sitting down to write a scene, you can't just think about what the people are doing and putting people in places. You have to think about what makes them them.
Wow.
That is a good insight, too, to like to That's become so an good. Observer with your military background. It's like you're always the new kid and you just kind of have to be quiet and figure out what's going on.
Exactly.
So once you think of an idea, do you like put it on post-it? I mean, how do you actually create the structure for your world so that you can check up and make sure you're keeping on track with the storyline?
Well, funny thing that I've written almost 5 books without a plan. And
she's a pantser.
No, seriously.
Because that makes us feel good.
She's yes, a pantser.
And it got to be too much because I couldn't keep track of the very things that you just asked me about. So, I went to a West Texas A&M class for the Writers Academy, and I've been going since 2013, and it's a fabulous resource for authors trying to find their way. It boosts creativity, and it also points you in the right direction and connects you with other people in the business, not just traditionally published people, but also self-pubs. So I ran into Alexandra Sokoloff. She has classes there, and she teaches story structure. And I plotted a book for the first time, and whenever I got into her class, I told her, I'm just going to sit here and listen because I can't do this. I'm a pantser, and you know, this plotting business is not for me. I just want to, you know, listen to what you're doing. And she was like, okay. So she stood up at the front of the class and proceeded to tell us all this stuff, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm doing all that stuff anyway. And so I started writing down everything that she was doing. And then before I knew it, in 4 days, I had plotted a new book.
Wow.
So now I'm sort of reteaching myself how to not be a pantser and to be a plotter. And I'm finding that I enjoy it much more.
Oh, really?
And I think it's bringing new depth to my work because I'm making conscious decisions rather than just letting the back of my mind figure everything out.
Yeah.
So what was the name of that? Does she have a book, the lady that you were talking about? Do you know much about her work?
Alexandra Sokoloff? Oh, she's a Hollywood screenwriter. She's a very major self-published author. She writes horror, among other things. And I think it's our Hollywood Screenwriting Tricks for Authors. If they just look up Alexandra Sokoloff, her last name is Sokoloff. You will find so many things from Alexandra on Amazon, and she's a worthwhile read. I've found sometimes people that put out how-to books don't always know how to, and she's not one of those.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is really interesting. Now, Vaughn, the first time you and I talked, we were talking about, you know, how we got into writing, and you were telling me that you used to get up at 2 a.m. to write. You put your kids down, you go to bed and get, uh-huh. you know, 6 hours of sleep. Can you tell us about that process and kind of what you're doing now?
I needed something else. I figured out that I needed more to do with my mind than my day job and my kids and chores. So I decided to start moving forward and writing. And I figured out really quick, if you have small children, that in a day job, you're not going to be able to fit it in, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I just decided to shortchange my sleep and get up at sometimes 2 o'clock if I was really excited about an idea, sometimes 3 o'clock, sometimes 3:30, and then I'll write until 5 a.m, go get myself ready for work, get the kids and the whole family up at 6, get us all ready in about 45 minutes, and then we're out the door, and we all of us go to our days.
Wow.
So
you've made me really exhausted just hearing that. I'm serious. I'm like stressing out terribly just thinking about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to get up, and then your mind is ready to write. I guess you've trained yourself, or was that, are you just like a morning person?
I've always been a morning person. I can't even tell you how many times my father got us up and said, "You're wasting daylight." So,
that hits home now. Yeah, you're wasting daylight. So you're up before any crack of dawn to write. That's impressive.
Wow. What time did you go to bed, Vaughn?
Well, really, I should be asleep right now. I'm not kidding. I usually go to bed anywhere from 7:30 to 8 o'clock if I'm lucky. Sometimes 8:30, 9 o'clock if I'm not lucky. It just depends what we've got.
I need to fast forward 5 years when your kids are up till 9, 10, or whatever. How do you do that? Mom's in bed and dad takes over while mom's going to bed at 7:30. I mean,
well, luckily enough, Bryn and I have trained each other for this already, because he's always been a night owl and I've always been a morning person. So whenever we had our children, it was like, okay, I'll take morning shift and you take night shift.
Well, there you go.
So, yep.
Teamwork, that helps a heck of a lot.
Oh, I couldn't do any of this without my husband. It's wonderful.
Good, you picked the right guy, man.
For sure.
Now, when you're creating the world for the Weaver series, did you plan out how the magic worked? Or before you wrote the story, or was it more just you kind of figured out as you went along?
It was organic. I even invented a character that I didn't know was going to exist partway through, and it changed the whole arc of the story, and I just rolled with it.
Ah,
it's easier to do with the first book in a series or trilogy than to try and do something like that whenever you're 2 or 3 or 4 books in.
Right, because the magic is already set, right?
Right, you're building the rules in the first book, and you can sort of do anything you want. And then after that, you have to follow the rules.
Right, and that's why you've been so successful, too, is that the first one was just kind of a creative outlet, and it all kind of fell into place on its own, but now you're starting to plot it more, so you kind of have to be more structured.
There you go.
Using that's very good. Now, are you on social media? We ask a lot of our authors, you know, what are they finding successful? How are they helping promote their books? What things do you, media?
I was listening to your New Year's podcast, and you were talking about if you're only marketing that you're not writing. And so given the time constraints of my life, as I've just explained prior.
Yes.
Any time that I take to market takes away from my writing. So I had to find a balance.
Yeah.
I went from writing 2 books a year to writing barely 1 book a year. And granted, 1 book a year and 12 short stories, and I won my first contest. But so I have to tell myself that over and over again, because it starts to feel like I haven't accomplished something.
Yeah.
But I have Instagram, which I really love. And which I don't have a large following on yet, but I still enjoy it, and I get lots of interaction with hashtags for different things that I'm interested in. And I meet new people all the time through mutual interests.
What kind of things do you put on Instagram?
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. Yeah.
Oh, all my writing. I do screenshots of my writing.
Get out! I never thought
you know,
of that.
Whenever, have you ever heard of Scrivener?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have my, well, some people haven't.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Wait, no, I'm laughing because we go back and forth with Scrivener. Well, to do or not to do Scrivener.
Yes.
So that's why I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at you.
No.
Well, it's a beautiful way to keep organized, especially if you're writing a series. And it is a way to spur yourself forward whenever you're feeling a little bit sluggish, because you can set project targets, even just session targets. And then I take pictures of those whenever I have a session target that I've met or exceeded, and I post it online and talk about different things that are going on in the story and that's things like that. It's a way to keep yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And also let your fans know that if it's been a little bit since you put out the last book, that yes, you are indeed working on it, and they can see that you're not sitting around doing nothing, eating bonbons. So
yeah, well, and also, you know, they're part of the process. Then they start to feel like they're invested in the story. They know what's going on. Oh, I heard that in a little background, you know, she's working this piece. And so when they get to the book, it's even more delicious because they've got all these little nuggets that they've been saving, you know.
Mm-hmm. They got to be part of it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think that that's fun. But I post much the same thing on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, my author page, and my personal Facebook page, just because it kind of includes everyone.
Yeah.
And I found that it's best not to get discouraged if you don't have people liking or commenting on your posts, because you would not believe how many people come up to me and tell me that they watch for my posts in their feeds. They're like, I don't know. My husband calls himself a stalker because he does that as well. He reads everybody's stuff, but he never interacts with it. And so there's people keeping track of you that you know nothing of.
Interesting.
And so I keep doing what I'm doing regardless of what kind of response that I get, because I know people are reading it.
Yeah, you're getting that feedback. Suzanne, that reminds me of the podcast. We have all these hits. We're like, who are these people? Where are they?
We have 40,000 hits. We're like, who are these people?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we have about 1,000 people listen a week, but we don't know who they are. My mother, I guess. I don't know.
Your mother's busy. She keeps clicking again and again.
It's crazy.
Hey, mother's
wonderful.
Yes, she's my mother is one of my number one fans. So.
Aww, me too.
Yeah, it's fabulous, though. Jen, before we kind of get out of the social media aspect real quickly, what hashtags do you use? You said you use some that you things you like. Have you got particular ones that work for you?
Scrivener, am writing, science fiction, fantasy, and I'm trying to think of other ones. Well, I draw, so I'm into visual art as well. And so I do some am drawing, and I've drawn some of my characters.
Oh, neat.
And so am drawing, am writing. Those are really the ones that work for me.
Great. No, thanks. We use am writing too. That's great. Thank you. No, I'm interested. So I love the fact that you are so disciplined about your time and everything, and it's really encouraging. Do you actually set aside a time for social media? Like, you say, I do an hour a day or half an hour. How do you do that? I mean, you're going across all the media.
I make sure that I get the writing done first. So writing is first, and then at the end of my sessions, I post to social media. And then once I'm done posting to social media, then I'm done for that day, and it's time to get on with my day job.
Right.
And I've also found some other places that help promote as a new author. Say you've just self-published a book and you have no clue whatsoever how to connect with book bloggers, and you don't want to just approach people and say, hey, read my book, because I'm sure they hear that 1,000 times a day. NetGalley. I don't know if you guys know very much about NetGalley.
I have heard of it, but I have absolutely no clue what that is.
Well, you can post your books as long as they've been published within a year. You can contract with them, and you can post your books on their site, and people can download your books, and then you can set it so that if they haven't read your book within 55 days, then it disappears off their device. So it's not that someone can download your book and run off with it and go publish it somewhere else and profit, you know, or pirate your work. It's a very reputable site. Traditionally published authors and self-published authors use it, and it's a way to get exposure for your book. And those people that are reviewers for NetGalley will post on their blogs, post on Goodreads, post on Amazon. You can also have the freedom to weed through who you want to read your book and who you don't. If you read their reviewer profile and you decide that this person might be not for you, then you can decline to let them read your book on NetGalley.
Such control. I like that. Now, that this whole NetGalley, so it's a place for the reviewers to get to your book for free, and that gives you a better exposure because they're all over there looking for things to review in their next project. Is that kind of how it works?
Yes, and you're not paying for reviews, you're paying for reviewers to have access to your books. So there's everything, and they will not, NetGalley will not guarantee that you're going to get positive reviews.
Yeah.
You get all kinds of people from all walks of life, and everybody has a different opinion, and so believe me, not all of your reviews will be good. And that's maybe something that you have to steel yourself for whenever you're first getting into reading reviews of your books, is knowing in advance that everyone is entitled to their opinion.
Right. Well, that's the thing that I've wanted the most, is just to have honest reviews. I got my first, I can't remember what it was, just the other day, I got my first, I guess it was a 2-star review. And I was, instead of being like down, I was so happy because I'm like, yes, I made it. I finally have like a variety of reviews, because everything I've had so far are 4 and 5s. And some people look at that and think that it's kind of fraudulent or whatever. It's just the way it's turned out. But I got a 2-star review. Suzanne, I didn't even tell you that, but.
Yeah, because you were so excited and partying about that.
It's so funny though. Like, I really am excited about it.
Yeah, I think I got my first 3-star the other day too. And I was like, oh. So there are other people out there that are, you know,
yes.
It is, you're right. It makes you feel, because you want people to have a good or a bad reaction. You don't want to be somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm glad, you know,
yeah.
I want that.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to just show, because, I mean, the guy was just kind of like, well, I kind of skimmed through the I guess he just wasn't into the book. I had to skim through some of the chapters. I'm thinking, well, it's just not the kind of book for you. That's fine. But, you know, it shouldn't be that everyone that's ever read any of our books absolutely loves it, because that does seem a little... You know, not everyone's going to love everything.
Otherwise, it looks contrived.
Well, it does look contrived, right? Exactly. And then, Vaughn, what you're saying is, you know, you just as a writer, not everyone is going to like your work. And then I guess at this site, you're just getting, you know, the author is even further removed from the review, because there's no direct interaction necessarily because you're on this NetGalley. So it does allow the reviewers to be very frank about how they felt about it. So in a lot of ways it's good, because if you're getting the good reviews, it's based solely on your story and not your reputation or other things.
Well, and the reviewers can also put down whether or not they want to interview the author. They can, the same control that the person who has released the book wants and has, the reviewer has as well, because if they don't want to be contacted, they don't have to be. And if they reach out and say, yes, I want to do an interview, then you've made these contacts with these different people that have read your work, and it's great. Yeah. It's a great tool.
That is great. That's a really good setup. We got to make sure we hashtag that for the podcast, right, Suzanne?
Absolutely. I've never heard of this. We just learned something new, and I love that.
Me too. That's why it's so fun to get a variety of authors, because every single person we have on the show has something new that we figure out. Okay, so Vaughn, tell us what you're working on right now.
Right now, I'm working on the 5th book in the Weaver series. It's called Descent, and I read an article about, of all things, the Star Wars, the Force Awakens, you know, everywhere, everybody knows.
I saw that with my family over Christmas.
There was an article put out by Huffington Post that, you know, there were 40 unforgivable plot holes in the motion picture, and there was a rebuttal to it that I read that was very interesting. And they mentioned ring theory, which is a theory where if you're writing a series of books, say it's a 6-book set, that the first book will be similar to the 4th book, and the 2nd book will be similar to the 5th, and the 3rd will be similar to the 6th. So it's an echo. There's similar themes, similar plot. It's like a revisiting of, in a way, right. of those things that happened in those books. They're all tied together in that way. And it's a plot device that has been used pretty much, you know, ever since people have been writing series of books. And I thought, oh my gosh, I started thinking of the Weaver series and I thought, you know what? I'm kind of doing that.
Interesting. So. And so this, the fifth book would then, was that the Mirroring the Second? I lost track.
It is correct. Yes. The second book in my series is on an alien planet. And the fifth book, wouldn't you know it, is on an alien planet. And told from the same character's point of view in both books. So that's... it just sort of worked out that way.
Well, and then so that kind of gives you an idea about your sixth book then will be something similar to what you've already written in the third, at least in terms of the basics, right?
That is true. And it was very exciting for me. I thought, oh, yes, now I know what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
So I can't stress enough. Read. Read everything. Read articles. You never know where your inspiration is going to come from. Right. And it doesn't mean that the things that you're reading are correct or the absolute law on whatever subject they're discussing, but you have absolutely no idea how what you read day to day is going to inspire you.
Right. It's true. Now, see, I always get these ideas that today on the news is there's something, a snail-like thing on Pluto. So it's this picture. And my mind is going crazy at all the, like, possible plots and science fiction elements. You know, you can write into that.
Perfect.
And then the other thing in the news right now is that El Chapo guy, the Mexican guy that ran away. And I just cannot stop seeing this as a movie. And I guess that's what Sean Penn is doing. But it's
well, you know that they'll make a movie out of
that.
I mean, anything with the drug cartels, it's like, woo.
Well, just I just have this image of the guy in a motorcycle down this tunnel and there's ladders. And just like my mind is going crazy. I was telling my son, I'm like, and then at the very end of that movie, the guy looks back as they're taking him off to the American prisons and he has this look on his face like, yeah, you can't hold me.
Yeah.
And it all figured out. But anyways, yeah, I'm exactly with you. Like, I love the science articles that really inspire. And I'm getting the feeling from you that this whole Chimera thing, is that something that you found like in the news or something that spawned the very first book?
It was an article about a medical condition called chimerism, where you can share DNA in the womb with your mother. They're actually doing research on how much DNA we have of other people, possibly our ancestors even. We're not really sure. You know, we tend to think of a person is born and they have this DNA and that's it. But there could be some mixture, you know, from being in the womb, whenever your mother's carrying you.
Yeah.
And then there's also different aspects of chimerism where, like twins, where one twin absorbs another twin and then you have one baby with two different sets of DNA.
Right.
So
interesting stuff. Wow.
I read another article and came up with a fantasy story. It was an article from the Dominican Republic where there are children born that are born for all intents and purposes looking like girls. And then at the age of 12, they change to boys. And it's a phenomenon particular to that area. It's not common. And it made me think of, okay, well, what if there were people that did that, but there was a magical reason for it?
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of spawned a whole other book that I've already plotted. So,
is that a different series that you're heading?
Oh no, it'll be a standalone book. I've decided that I'm gonna write books as if they're a standalone, and then if I can continue the story, then I will for right now because it's a way to train my mind to stay on task.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to finish the Weaver series right now, so I only allow myself to plot one book on a new idea at a time.
There you go.
Wow. So are you indie published for Vaughn?
Yes, I'm self-published.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
Well, I just love the fact your work ethic is so strong and your vision for your series and your vision for your books is just very, you know, is great. So that's why I just wondered if you were maybe traditionally published and kind of, you know, spurred by that. But you obviously just got great self-control and, you know, and a vision for what you want to do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'll go with that. Except for the days that I don't write and I decide to sit on my couch and drink coffee and read a book.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have those days.
Today.
No, but you have to have those days, because what you were saying earlier, that's when you're chewing on stuff. Sometimes you can't write it because you don't have it sorted yet, but your brain is still working on it. I do that all the time.
Yep, I've brought out of writing more enhanced ability to listen to myself.
That's very helpful, especially as busy as you are. At some point, yeah. You do have to listen to yourself.
Yes, sometimes myself says, I'm tired.
I got up at 3. I'm very tired.
Yes, coffee is my friend.
Oh, I bet it is. All right, Suzanne, are we ready for the lightning round?
I think I'm ready. Is Vaughn ready?
Vaughn, do you know about the lightning round?
Well, you mentioned it, but I have no idea what it consists of.
Well, good. Ooh. Because now we have to make you think fast. And you're tired. This is bedtime. This will be interesting. Suzanne, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
Yeah, unless you want to do it, I'm happy to do it.
Go for it, girl.
So the way the lightning round works is we're going to ask you the simple questions, but the idea is to think of the first thing that comes to your mind not go into a huge story or just a real quick answer, and often we'll ask an answer to that. But it's really interesting that when we do this, the things that come up, we learn so many different things about authors. So that's why we love doing it. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and are you ready?
I think I am.
Okay. As I said, they're pretty simple. What is your favorite band or artist?
Florence and the Machine.
Oh, okay. Left coast or right coast?
Right coast.
Is that for a particular reason? Do you like being...
I like New England.
Yay.
Ah, okay. Okay. What is your favorite writing spot?
My kitchen table.
Really? Ah, do you always sit there or is that your...
Oh, yes. In my robe. It's fabulous.
When the kids are in bed, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we know this one, but you may have changed. Are you a pantser or a plotter?
A little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've moved to the middle now. You started out as a pantser, right?
I sure did.
Did you ever do NaNoWriMo or anything like that?
Oh, no. I think that would burn me out.
Okay. If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
The Dark Ages.
Ooh, brave woman.
And a particular reason? Does that just fascinate you? Or
the history of the time and the superstition and the lawlessness masquerading as nobility.
Ooh.
Wow.
So.
Deep.
Cool. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh my gosh, never having to sleep.
That is so perfect.
Every mother out there.
Oh my god, I love that.
If I never had to go to bed. There you go.
That's perfect. Awesome. Perfect.
Who inspires you? Who or what, I should say, inspires you? Because it can be a what, too.
Oh, my mother.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, she was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, and she went back and got her degree, and she has her doctorate. She's a professor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
And she did all of that while trying to juggle family, so she's sort of my disciplined role model.
Wow.
That must have been challenging. If you're military, she was always moving, right? So she didn't get much time to do that kind of stuff.
True. She went to more than one college.
Wow, God bless her. What is your favorite writing author moment so far?
Writing author moment. That would be, I received an email from a reviewer who read my books and said that she had MS and that the way that I described someone's nerves malfunctioning was a perfect description of the way that hers felt.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, okay.
That's good.
So that was just because you felt that you connected with her, or was it just the fact you were so glad that you got it right? So why was that such a moment?
Well, that I got it right, and that she connected so much with the story, and that she loved the story, and that reading is her escape as her body starts to malfunction more and more. She still has her mind. And so for all the people out there who only have their mind to depend on, books are for them. And so... that's one of my motivations.
Fabulous. Wow, that's amazing. One thing you'd wish you'd been told about being a writer.
How hard it is. It is so hard. In your mind, you think that people just sit down and it's just word vomit. It all comes out and it's all perfect. Word and there's just, you know, you only have to do it once and, oh, I wrote my book. No, it's nothing like that.
It's so true. I mean, and so much of our writing is rewriting, or, you know, that I wasn't prepared for. You know, it's like, you know, I don't count it as writing, but it is writing. When you're actually going in and editing and writing, it's still writing, but it's not, you know, it's not as fun, not for me anyway. So yeah. I totally understand you there.
It's also psyching yourself up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've literally paced in my kitchen and cried and gave myself a pep talk about, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then sat back down and started writing.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that in a pathetic way. I just mean there's so much going on in our head, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. I've never done that before. And it's like, well, yes, you can. Who says you can't? Mm-hmm. You sit your butt down, and you figure it out, and you'll do it.
And so, you do. I mean, look how successful you are.
I need you at my house. Okay. Which book do you wish you had written?
Oh, let's see. Dragon Bones by Patricia Briggs.
Oh.
I don't think I've read that one. Have you read that one, KJ?
No, I think that's... Is that fantasy?
It's fantasy.
Yeah, that's one.
And she's not even well-known for fantasy right now. She's well-known for paranormal. She writes the Mercy Thompson novels. And she's a were-coyote. But that's not even my favorite series. I love her older... Her past work, where she was writing fantasy. And I love Dragon Bones and Dragon Blood. Those are two of my favorite books by her.
Wow. That's all I got.
Ah,
all right.
You made it through.
Yeah, you did great. Those were really interesting answers.
Yes, very good.
Well, thank you. I was worried because I kind of got distracted whenever I got home, and I had a very long day, and so I had a little bit of rum and Sprite. And then I looked at my husband, and I was holding this cup, and I was like, no. I'm halfway through this, and I just remembered I have a podcast. He goes, well, don't drink anymore.
Oh, no, the best podcasts we get are after rum and coke, you know. Yeah. Right away, you know, it's like...
But I'll sleep good tonight, so.
Yeah, good. We won't keep you up much longer. You should be in bed by now.
Yeah. We should probably tuck her in. Can we just pull the covers up to your chin?
There you go.
All right, I have a nice little zebra blanket right here. I'll just go.
Oh, perfect.
Bedtime with Fawn.
Oh, yeah. It's glamorous.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, Vaughn. I really appreciate meeting you and having the conversations that we've had before now, and now to actually get to know you a little bit better. It's quite exciting, and you've really inspired me. I mean, you just seem so... I don't know, the way you have managed your time to work in the writing and keep this creative flow going is really impressive and quite inspiring. So I really appreciate you having you on the show, and I look forward to connecting with you more. And as you come out with your next book, maybe we can have you back on and talk about it again.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I had a blast. I laughed a lot more than I usually do at this time of night.
I bet that's true.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you having on the show.
All right. Well, y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too. Deborah Blanket. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Please join us next week where we welcome Terry Persson. He's a multi-genre author, a writing coach, who provides some really great information on book marketing, writing tips, and Kindle World.
You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.